Okay, we're recording.
Hello. 1, 2, 3.
I'm working late because I'm a teacher.
And I'm in tech.
1, 2, 3. 안녕하세요. Welcome to our podcast.
Episode 2.
We're your hosts, Lois.
And Irene.
This is a work in progress.
we'll work on the intro.
Oh my gosh. All right. What are we talking about today, Irene?
Today, everyone's favorite topic, career, hustling, and why.
Yes, careers, our jobs, our...
Womp womp.
Womp womp. What are we slaves to? Okay, before we start, snack spotlight.
Woo-hoo!
We have our Sanso today. Cheers.
Cheers. Well,
we have to open it first.
Yes.
Oh, this might be hard with one hand.
Yeah.
You might need it. Okay, we're gonna have to put the mics down for this for just a second.
I'm gonna try to ASMR mic.
Oh my god, your nails are so long. Oh my gosh. I'm very curious to see how that got caught on the microphone.
We'll see.
Shout out to Sanso. It says the first Asian inspired sparkling water. Have you had Sanso before?
Yes.
Okay.
At your birthday party.
Oh yeah. Cheers. Ooh, love it.
Delicious.
The yuzu one is my favorite. They have a good amount of flavors. I still need to try the other ones. And our nostalgic snack for today.
Choco pie. For those that don't know.
I know. I was like, people are going to be like, what is a choco pie?
It's like chocolate marshmallow fluff combined.
Yeah, like a little chocolate
like a
marshmallow
sandwich.
Cake. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to open it with my teeth. This is a very nostalgic snack. Have you ever had this delivered to you by your mom, like on a plate, like unwrapped?
No.
Oh, really? Like, I feel like, I don't know specifically to me, but I remember like if, like when I would get tutored, you know how like the Asian thing is like always to serve the tutor, like snacks or like fruit especially. But I remember sometimes I think my mom would like literally bring a choco pie on a plate and like have it cut up all cute and nice.
Aww, you know, if you microwave these for 20 seconds, so good.
What? I've never microwaved it.
Yeah, I did that. Life changing.
Oh my god, cheers. You know some people hate cheersing food.
Yes, I think I know our mutual friend.
Yeah. Do you have that ick though? Does that give you an ick?
No, okay. I love it. Uh-huh. I'll cheers anything.
Oh, that's crumbly. We're gonna have it's getting so hot. It's fine. It's getting hot, so like the ants are coming, so we're gonna have to wash all these crumblies later.
I'm just placing it on the table for now.
All right. So today we're talking about our careers.
Mm-hmm.
We have boss girl boss. Quite hard, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Cheers to us for that.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing I appreciate about, I feel like I say that a lot, but like I think in our friendship, something, even though we have really different careers, something that we have in common is just like the hustle.
Right.
I feel like, I don't know. And then I we'll get into it, but I wanted us to talk about our jobs and a little bit like what we do and kind of stuff like that, but also like why we hustle, because I feel like we have very specific reasons why.
Deep rooted,
or maybe our families or upbringing, stuff like that. But I just feel like, because I don't want to like downplay other people, but I just feel like sometimes it's like I don't see that in everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like, you know, make me sound like I'm the best, I hustle so hard, but I feel like it's just like a trait that I really respect about people is like when I see the hustle, when I see the drive.
Yeah. And I kind of want to get into that, like about hustle culture and like, you know, it could be toxic, but in the root of it, it can also be inspiring too.
Yeah.
But
like sometimes I just want to live, laugh, love, you know?
Yeah. What is that? Eat, pray, love. Like, but live, laugh, love.
I just want to eat, pray, love, live, laugh, love.
Yes.
You have a little bit of choco pie in your teeth. I'm going to just tell you right now.
Before the viewers.
Yes. Call you out.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully it wasn't seen in there.
Yeah. I'm going to get you a tissue actually. But I wanted to talk about our careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll start off by saying like what we do.
Yeah.
And we'll just a brief description. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do a brief description and then a day in my life. We're a hot mess over here.
little break for my wife.
How about I go first? Say E. Perfect, you're good.
Okay. We're ready now.
This is depicting of our friendship.
Mm-hmm. You go first.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll talk about what I do and then what a day in my life looks like. Mm-hmm. I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am a special education teacher. Mm-hmm. This is Lois talking, by the way, for the only listeners. So I'm a special education teacher. Gosh, that's it. A day in my life. Okay. Most people work, I feel like 9 to 5. Teachers work, I would say it's more like a 7 to 3.
Yeah.
We do a lot of overtime. I've gotten a lot better at not doing overtime. So good. Yeah, I get to work at like 7:30, 7:40. Teachers get to work. We get some prep time, whatever. Sometimes we have meetings. School starts, and I saw this meme where it was like, teaching is the only job where you have to work so that you, I forgot what it was. It was like, you have to work so that you have work to do during the day. Ooh. But then because you're working during the day, you don't have the time to work. Like basically all the prep stuff that you do, it's like we have to go and prep so that we have something to teach, but then we have all this other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. But because we're busy teaching, we have to stay after to prep again and get all like the other stuff done.
Yeah, it's like a thankless job.
Yeah, it's an endless cycle. But that's basically what a day in my life looks like. Mm-hmm. I literally get to work. I check my emails. And then the day, the craziness starts of just children all over the place. I don't know, it's weird because like I'm a teacher, but I sometimes don't feel like a teacher. 90% of the time I feel like I am just behavior management, trying to just keep children alive. Right now I teach TK kinder, which is like 4 or 5 year olds, and it's special education. I don't know, you can imagine what the crazy of that looks like.
Right.
It's literally just running around all day, making sure everyone's safe, making sure people are sitting in their chairs. It's not like your typical teacher image that when you look up Google teacher, someone like up there on the whiteboard, like, okay, everybody, A, B, C. That's not happening. Like most of the time, like, hey, sit down, hey, ask yourself.
You wrangle.
It's like that's, you have
a toddler at home and also at school. 24/7.
Yeah, that's kind of what my day looks like. A lot of my job consists of meetings. As a special education teacher, you're doing IEPs. If you know, you know. A lot of meetings, a lot of like, so while I'm trying to quote unquote teach, I'm trying to also set up meetings, collaborate, communicate with service providers, because all my kids have speech, OT, all that jazz. A lot of stuff like that. And then trying to squeeze in IEP meetings, trainings, whatever. That's kind of the gist. I mean, there's so much more that I could go into.
Yeah, just like
I feel like it'd be funny to, you know, the PowerPoint presentation trend. That'd be so funny. But
one day.
Yeah, that's the gist of a day in the life, I guess. Yeah.
And sorry for the mic listeners, I just burped. So. I would say, but also you just got your master's.
Yes, so. I got my MED. Everyone's like, oh, so pretty good. It's literally just for a raise for people who don't know.
Let's get that raise.
I know, for teachers, we're part of a union. We can't be like, give me a raise, I'm doing awesome. It doesn't work that way. We're on a salary schedule. So basically me getting my master's just bumps me up on the salary schedule.
That's awesome.
I'm still going to be a teacher. Nothing's changing. I'm just going to get paid more.
Yay. We love that.
Yay.
Yay money.
Yeah. Truly.
So I work in tech. And I would say the day in the life, it's...
Well, what company do you work for?
Well, currently I work at TikTok. And I would say
What's your job title?
Social media manager. Yes, okay. Thank you. I almost forgot. Yeah, social media manager. So working with, like, say your favorite brand, you know, you follow them on Instagram, Facebook, on all these things. There's people behind the scenes that are building those posts on the daily. So you have something to look at and obviously to engage with, whether it be a new product or things like that. But basically, that's kind of like my role in a nutshell. There's like a lot that goes into it too. But I would say my typical day in the life is very unique because every day is a little bit different. Ooh. But I would say there's also a difference between working as a social media manager outside of tech versus tech also. But
oh, wait, what do you mean by that?
So non-tech roles in the same space, same role.
Oh, like a social media manager, mm-hmm. not in tech?
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's a different pay scale. It's you do similar work, but mm-hmm. it's just like the industry is different.
Got it, got
so,
it. Okay.
But anyways, my day in the life is basically I build like content calendars uh-huh. for the week, weeks and months ahead. And then I work with a team of freelancers that I hire to produce said videos. I constantly ideate to see like what's trending and seeing what is relevant for our brand. And then obviously the analytics behind that. And all that comes into like whatever product or feature that we're trying to promote. So everything's happening at the same time. And like I have to balance a lot of different projects simultaneously along with big activations that we do. So we do like award shows. We have like mid-year campaigns or projects that like require the whole team's effort. So it's a lot of like covering a lot of hats with one person. And that's like relevant across all different industries.
Yeah.
But I think for my personality type, I like that. So basically in essence, it's like you're wearing a lot of different hats and not every day is the same. So there's a lot of change that happens constantly. And depending on your personality type, you might love that or not. And one thing I like about working here currently is I have a lot of creative freedom. Mm. So if I have an idea, I can build it today and it goes out tomorrow. While in other places that are a little bit more structured, you have to get approvals. You have to like wait like a couple days. But for trends and things like that, like if you miss a couple days, that trend is over. So then you're already old news.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to get that autonomy. But I would say my hours are, again, I think this is a tech thing, but like I can start at like 10:30 and but then I can literally work till like 8. And obviously if I'm working on something, I could also be working all night because I think in tech and just in social media in general, you're constantly on your phone. So I have a very short attention span and so I'm always on my phone looking and like for me, like how I find rest is through my phone too, like just scrolling, mindlessly scrolling. And I have to do that for my job anyway. So I feel like I'm constantly working, but I love the job. So it doesn't feel like a job all the time, but obviously there's like struggles, obviously with like knowing when to turn things off. But yeah, I guess that's the gist of it.
Are you hourly pay or salary?
Salary.
Oh, okay. Do you feel like, because you were talking about how you work like sometimes late to the night, do you feel like you've seen people in your industry where like that's a given, or do you feel like right now you're in a stage where you can do that and you kind of like are girl bossing it and you just kind of do the overtime because you have to, but also you can? Or do you feel like you've seen people who like know how to draw boundaries and cut off and it's possible to like sustain that, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. In my job right now, there's not a lot of people who have kids. It's a very young culture.
Makes sense, yeah.
And I think they do that on purpose because, you know, you have the freedom to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say at other jobs that like non-tech, like I've seen women have kids and have that balance,
yeah,
you know, because they have to.
Yeah.
I think, but to answer your question, I think it's half-half. I think half of it is like I want a girl boss, and the other half of it is like I have the freedom to. And once I don't, like, I think I would want to, like, figure something else out. Mm. But for now, it's perfect for, you know, I'm a night owl by nature. Yeah. And so it's just perfect for me in that sense. And I just love,
like, it just scrolling. Works for your life stage.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. And again, that's why I say, like, the field and my job specifically is for a specific type, because mm-hmm. if you like structure and you like a specific cutoff time, like, that's kind of hard. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not easy to do, but it's possible.
Okay. Interesting. I was always curious about your day in the life of what it looks like, because I feel like when people talk about, like, because I'm a teacher, I've always been in, like, this education space, so it's hard for me to, like, wrap my mind around what, like, the corporate girlies do. Oh, you yeah. know what I mean? Like, people who go to offices
yeah.
and are at offices all day. I'm like, what the heck are you doing all day? Like, not to say, like,
emails and meetings.
Yeah, it's just, like, sometimes I'm like, does it really require 9 to 5? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes yeah. I, like, just wonder, like, what?
We should do, a day in the life swap. I know.
We should. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to talk about, like, how we got into our line of mm-hmm. work. yeah, like, our, cause we, you know, we've talked about our friendship starting from college. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just been cool to see, like, us Bro. Being these little college girlies, yeah. figuring out what we want, and then seeing our, like, career paths kind mm-hmm. of form too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I guess you could start, because I just remember, like, you were always into,
The internet,
but it's just interesting because you were a business major, right?
Yeah.
And then I always thought, like, I don't know, that just was such an interesting shift, seeing you go from, like, business mm-hmm. and then seeing that form into social media. Yeah. Like, how did that happen?
It's so interesting. Yeah. So I did do business, but I did it in the mindset of, like, I wanted to get into advertising and marketing, mm-hmm. like, because I took a lot of, like, elective courses where I could to get that, mm-hmm. because at the time, I was, like, YouTube obsessed, like, a lot of us. Yeah. And, like, obsessed to the point where, like, I would know their favorite snack mm-hmm. or, like, little details mm-hmm. that you wouldn't know unless, like, you know, you're constantly on the internet.
Yeah.
And something about it was just, like, intriguing to me. I was like, this is the one thing I think I'm good at. Like, I'm really, like, well-versed in, like, what's going on the internet, because I'm always watching. Yeah. So, like, what can I do? Uh-huh. And so I think, like, many of us, like, as we're getting into, like, the later parts of our college years, like, everyone's, like, trying to look for a job. Yeah. So, like, you know, I was just, like, kind of looking out there, seeing what's possible. Mm-hmm. And then influencer marketing kind of mm-hmm, came mm-hmm, into play. So mm-hmm. it's, like, it's basically where, let's say you sponsor somebody for, like, I don't know, promoting Sanzo. So, mm-hmm. like, someone may be like, okay, I agree to work with the brand mm-hmm. if you pay me a specific fee for this certain amount of posts. Mm-hmm. So that's how influencer marketing works. But basically in my role there, like, I would be, like, finding people for specific brands for projects. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to explain why they were a good fit. So they're called RFPs. Like, mm-hmm. they're basically proposals for brands to consider. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're competing against other people too. Like,
okay.
These agencies. And uh-huh. so whoever wins gets to, like, you know, uh-huh. Do the campaign.
Right.
And so I was just, like, the coordinator trying to, like, get all the details and, like, the followings.
That was,
like,
your first job? Mm-hmm. Where was it again?
It was called The Audience in LA.
Okay.
But it's no longer now. Oh, but, okay. yeah, back in the day.
Okay.
And then from there, I just, honestly, I think work is, like, hard work plus luck, because after that, I got into, like, some big corps, like, I would say, through hard work and luck, but I got to work at AT&T after that, mm-hmm. manage the brand, handles for them. And at the time, like, they also owned Warner Media. Mm. So I was responsible for a lot of the promotions leading to, like, the newest releases, like mm-hmm. Wonder Woman at the time, mm-hmm. 1989
oh, I remember
or 19
that.
Something. Yeah, 1989. Yeah, that's the you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But that, and then from there, I got to do a quick stint at Google, which was cool because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when you're younger, like, those are, like, dream places. Yeah, yeah. And I think I was just placed at the right time, like, meeting the right people. Because mm-hmm. I think also the hardest part about corporate is, yes, hard work plays into it, but you need to be good at networking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are the people who, yeah, those are the people who give you chances yeah. and get you to the door. Mm-hmm. And, like, people always ask me, like, do you think I can do it? I think in one essence, no, because the job is very specific, especially for social media. Like, you have to be well-versed in internet culture, and there's a lot of things that go into it, and it's not as simple as people say. But in the other aspect of it, yes, if like, you're willing to learn, everything is doable if you're willing to learn, but like, the level of skill is where it kind of differs. So that's kind of where I say, like, no, depending on the situation. But yeah, I think there's a misconception that people think like social media is easy because everyone loves social media. But it's like different when it's like your personal versus like a brand. And there's a lot of legalities that go into play, and things that, like, I can't do certain fun things and things like that. But anyways, yeah, it's going from Google, like, which is very structured. Like, you learn a lot about managing people because that's just how they run. And even in my current role right now, it's creative, but like, I also manage people. And that is, it's a lot to handle because like, having a kid, like, you're emotionally responsible, and like, I only have so much power in those spaces that, like, you know, if my boss says something, then I have to follow suit, even if I don't agree, you know? So it's kind of like playing that line a little bit. But yeah, I think that's kind of how my natural progression kind of went. And like, who knows where I'll go next? But yeah, I feel very fortunate and blessed, and like, nothing's ever forever. So I'm just enjoying it for now.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I feel like a big thing I like, just really respect about you is seeing your career progression. And like, a big thing I wanted to talk about, because that's just like a layer I really wanted to peel back, because I just feel like people see you and like, on the surface, like, you're just like a cute, happy, ditzy, bubbly girl.
I have my moments.
And it's not a bad thing, but also it's like, dude, you have girl bossed so hard. Like, you worked for a bit, AT&T, Google, that's huge. Like, and now you're at TikTok, one of the biggest companies in the world. So yeah, that's just been like, so awesome to see, and like, I just respect it a lot.
Thank you.
I do have a question. Was your was your role always social media manager?
After influencer marketing, because there was a time where I managed a YouTuber too.
So I remember that.
Everything after the influencer coordinator role I had, it was social media.
Social media manager.
It was kind of like the natural progression.
Got it. Because
they're related. But before I get into like, my reasonings of why, I would love to hear your journey and like, things like that.
It's just so funny because I feel like it's so different, and it's just like, because it's like, for you, it's like climbing the corporate ladder, right? And then like, in corporate world, I feel like there's such a big like, push for like, you know, like, change your job here, stay there for a little bit, leverage that for another company, ask for higher pay, work your way up, like, but like, that doesn't exist in my world. So it's just really interesting to hear. And networking too, like, I think there is a level of networking you can do as a teacher, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, maybe not the biggest thing for us. So
what's the biggest thing?
I don't know. Like, for us, I mean, it really is like your experience, I think. I think networking does help. but at the same time, it's just kind of like, you still have to interview, you still have to, you know, all of that. I don't know. But I guess just getting into how I got into teaching. So I'll try to concise it, but basically, like, so I'm a special ed teacher. I always kind of knew that I wanted to work with like, the disability community. When people ask me why or how, it's still like a very weird question mark, because I know why, but at the same time, it's still very odd to me that like, this is kind of like where my direction was, because I feel like most people who work with people with disabilities have like a family member, or like, oh, it's because my niece had Down syndrome, or like my cousin, my little cousin had autism. And for me, it was like, oh shoot, like, I didn't really have that experience. But anyway, I'll go into maybe why I had a little bit of empathy in that situation. But anyway, so I think for me, basically, like, I just kind of always felt drawn to the community. It always starts with a mission trip. That might be a red flag, but like, I remember I went on a mission trip. I was really young. I was like in middle school. But I don't even remember the details, but I was supposed to have like a big group of kids mm-hmm. for like our VBS camp, mm-hmm. but I got stuck with one girl mm-hmm. and the whole like camp, I was like just with her. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her needs were. I just knew that she wasn't verbal. She needed a lot of assistance just getting water and mm-hmm. all of that. So I basically just like helped her the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like it was a big deal until everyone made it a big deal. Everyone was like, Lois, you're so patient. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, what you're doing is incredible. And I was like, this is really not a big deal.
How old were you?
I was like in middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah. So I think that stuck with me because mm. I really felt like I was just like, I'm literally just helping someone. It's not that big of a deal. I almost felt like it was messed up that people were like, mm. you're so patient. I was like, dude, I'm literally just
like, oh, you would do it for
yeah,
anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of thing. So I don't know. That just like stuck with me. And then I think going into like high school, I always like struggle with like, what am I good at? Like mm. I always felt like very kind of jack of all trades, mm-hmm. master of none. Mm-hmm. So I just always struggle with that, but I did feel like a draw to, you know, best buddies. Mm-hmm. So there was like a club at my school, but in high school, the big thing was like getting community service hours. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to join the club and be like, I'm helping people with disabilities. Give me my community service hours mm-hmm. for college. So mm-hmm. I actually didn't join that club. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to college, I went to Riverside with you, mm-hmm. joined the big Korean Christian KCM bubble. Mm-hmm. But I transferred to UCI. Mm-hmm. And when I transferred to Irvine, I was like, oh, I really want to do something out of my shell, out mm-hmm. of my bubble. Mm-hmm. And there was a best buddies chapter at UCI. Mm-hmm. And that was really big. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I really wanted to join that in high school. This mm-hmm. is my chance now.
What a full circle
moment. I know, right? So that was big for me. I learned a lot through that in terms of navigating relationships with adults with disabilities, mm-hmm. kind of a different world, mm-hmm. You know, disability adults who are working and things like that. So that was a really big learning experience mm-hmm. and that was really awesome. I actually wanted to work for them, but there was mm-hmm. no opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's kind of where the pivot happened. And then I learned about the world of ABA. Uh-huh. don't come for me. I know that ABA is like, it's a controversial topic.
What is that for the people who don't know?
ABA is basically a behavioral therapy, uh-huh. Applied behavior analysis. It's a way of basically providing therapy services for people with autism, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be autism. Anyone with like a disability where you're working on basically certain behaviors, mm-hmm. lifestyle, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. It can be like, it's so vast what you're able to do through it. Mm-hmm. I learned so much through that. I did that mm-hmm. for a few years.
Yeah.
Pros and cons to that. I'll get into that one day. Maybe mm-hmm. it's controversial. I know some people are like anti-ABA. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I understand that, but I also learned a lot through that. And mm-hmm. a lot of that I carry into my work right now.
Oh, I'm so curious to know because like it sounds like so helpful. Like you're helping people adapt to like their behavioral, like, you know, yeah. what they lack or something.
Yeah, it's pretty controversial and I can get more into it later. But in essence, I think a lot of it, it's like, oh, you're telling me how to be normal. Mm-hmm. Or like you're telling me how to... Yeah, it's like
defining normal.
Yeah, defining and kind of like, oh, like why should I have to stop doing this, or why should my behavior have to look like this?
Mm, I see that too.
Yeah, so it's controversial, but I still see. I've seen pros and cons, but I learned a lot through that. Mm-hmm. But basically, that was kind of like my post-grad stint, and mm-hmm. I felt like from there, I was like, am I going to keep doing this? Am I going to move up in this field, mm-hmm. or am I going to pivot? And I started slowly being like, I don't think I can move up in this field, like mm-hmm. go clinical. It just didn't feel right for me. And then at the time, I actually also had a small stint in a private school because mm-hmm. I just needed something more stable, actually. So I worked at a private school for a little mm-hmm. while. And it wasn't special ed or anything. It was mm-hmm. just a private school gen ed.
Right, right.
But I was in a kindergarten classroom. And I remember I wasn't a teacher, but I was like an after school program, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I remember loving my experience in the classroom. And then there's like this thing that I always heard was like, you know, when your I forgot what it is, like your skills and your passion like collide, that's your calling.
That's a good line.
Yeah. And I was like, oh shoot, okay, like I like being in the classroom. I feel passionate about it and I feel like I'm good at it, but like what I want, or my skill is like in the classroom, but I felt like my passion was to work with people with disabilities. And that's when I had like a light bulb moment of like, I should be a special education teacher. So yeah, I just went for it. I started my credential program and then went down the road of that. And
it's crazy. It's kind of like a thought and it came, became that thing. Like,
yeah. So I just kind of went for it and then have been a teacher for 4 years now.
Do you have any regrets?
I mean, my only regret is that I should have done my master's with my credential so that I wouldn't have been stuck doing
you
this.
You could do that?
Yeah. Oh. So the reason why, so my program had that option of like getting my credential and my master's, but that program would have taken a little bit longer. So my reasoning at the time was, I don't know if I'm going to be teaching for a long time. I'd rather finish this program ASAP, get a job ASAP, start making money. And then if I feel like I'm going to teach for a long time, I'll get my master's. That was my reasoning.
Like you weren't 100% sunk into that idea.
Yeah, just like commitment to one career. It's scary. And so I kind of was like, I might hate it. Like, I don't want to get my master's if I'm going to hate it and quit.
You got
to
try it out.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Let's teach for a few years and then maybe get my master's later on. I can always get it later on.
Yeah.
I'm kind of still glad I stuck with that reasoning because, yeah, who knows? I could have absolutely hated it. So many people, the exodus of teaching. But like the fact that I'm still here and I was like, I decided to get my, I was crazy enough to think.
That's great. And you did that.
And I did it.
You did it.
Yeah. So, but that's how I landed in special ed. Yeah.
What a journey. I know. Like, yeah. From that small interaction with that child and water.
Yeah.
And like, I just find it so interesting that like, I feel like it's one of those things where, if you don't experience it yourself, it's easy to be like, why can't they do it like this? Yeah. So like in that situation, they're like, you're so patient.
Yeah,
but like,
like
I said, it's like, you would have done that for anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it led you to that path.
I know, right? Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
I feel like it fits you in the sense of like, you are like, I don't know if patience is the right word, but you have the capacity and the heart for it.
Yeah.
I think it's different when you, instead of like, you know, you're doing it for the people.
It's always weird to navigate like when people say that, like, oh, you're, it's because you're so patient. And it's just like, I feel like everyone has a level of patience for what they want to care about. Because
you
it's,
care about that.
Because it's like, I feel like it's almost messed up to be like, you're so patient. But it's like, wouldn't you be patient for someone who needs help?
You're going to leave them there. Like,
but at the same time, like I have to also understand, it's kind of like, no, it just, everyone has their different like skill and passion and like capacity of what they like want to be able to do. And like for me, like I don't know if I would have the patience to like deal with people in your setting and like do what you do. Like I feel like I can maybe, but do I want to, like do I want to put my energy and patience and like in that space? Maybe not. I don't think so, you know. So
one day
maybe
we'll do a life swap.
Do you want to talk about, like, would you recommend this to?
I would say I would recommend it if you are willing to take the pros and cons. I think when I think about social media, just like before I got into it, it's like glamorous. You get to meet people. You get to go to things. You know, and that's all the fun parts of it. But that's like 1% and everything else, because you know the corporate politics come into play, and also social media specifically, it is a 24/7 job. Like I remember, like I would be meeting friends and I'd be like, hold on, I need to post. You know, it's just it's like become part of my lingo. And someone has to just be good at that, I guess. And I think I've just kind of learned to tolerate it, or I've grown accustomed to it, where it's like part of my like everyday. But you know, if that's not something that you're willing to do and kind of be on the clock, mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend. Yeah. But if that's something that excites you, you know, like creating things from scratch, mm-hmm. like being able to just like tap into a trend and like mm-hmm. show your humor, mm-hmm. Managing big accounts, and being creative. I think being creative is like a big thing. Mm-hmm. I never thought that my job was creative because mm-hmm. I always thought like graphic designers or people who are actually like, I don't know, like creative in that yeah, way, like yeah. it's creative in yeah. what I'm just doing, like it's like operational, mm-hmm. but I realize it is creative. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say I would only recommend it if those things excite you mm-hmm. and like you feel like you wouldn't look at it as a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so interesting. I feel like, again, our jobs are so different, but we share that. Because, mm-hmm. like, for me, like, when if I were to recommend special ed, number one, don't do it. I'm just kidding. Run. But I feel like, yeah, like, I think, I guess our recommendation or advice for anyone seeking a career is, like, not being naive, I guess, about mm-hmm. the glamour of, like, what our jobs are. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, like, with social media, it's like, oh, you get to meet these people. You're part mm-hmm. of TikTok. You're part of mm-hmm. this big thing. But, and, like, with special ed, it's, like, I think the big thing that leads people away is that it's so easy to go into teaching, like, I'm going to change lives. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna touch that one mm-hmm. one kid's heart. Mm-hmm. I'm going to impact and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, I mean, especially for special education, I feel like the return or just like what you get back is like 0.05%.
Yeah.
And that's sad. It's sad. Yeah. It really is. But it's just like, I think thankfully I had not as much of a naive mindset going into special education, going into teaching. I think I actually went into it with a very cynical mindset, mm-hmm. Which actually is probably what helped and is probably why I'm still teaching, is mm-hmm. that I went into it knowing like the system is flawed. Like I know a lot of it is paperwork. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is meetings, difficult parents. Like I knew all of that going into mm-hmm. it. Obviously it's still like, oh my God, like when you're in the thick of it, mm-hmm. but I kind of knew that like going into it, I knew it wasn't going to be all rainbows and butterflies, right. changing the world.
Right.
And it's just like,
you're realistic.
Yeah. And I like went into it knowing like it's gonna suck probably, mm-hmm. but it's yeah, that 0.05% mm-hmm. that keeps you going of like you do see the impact like of what you do. Your
passion outweighs the negative aspect.
Yeah. I mean, I was so close to quitting this year. Like I was like looking at
yeah, I've seen your stories.
I know. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, it's so hard. And I feel like it's just going to keep getting harder. I don't know. It's rough out there, guys. Like,
yeah. Teaching. We need more teachers.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. But that's my, do I recommend? Probably not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just sucks because it's like, oh, you don't go into teaching for the money. Dude, like, we need money.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get paid better.
Yeah.
It's okay to want to be financially stable and want a higher paying job.
Right.
Let's normalize that.
Like, I think that's one of the like jobs that like should be paid more.
Yeah. It's just like a toxic cycle of like, oh, well, you didn't go to this for knowing it's the money, right? It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I know, but it's like, I could still want both. Like, I could mm-hmm. still want to have this job and still wish for like better pay and
sustainable
living. Yeah, sustainable living, which yeah. should be a normal desire, but yeah. it's just like this weird toxic cycle of like, well, you signed up to be a teacher. It's yeah. like, okay, well, thanks. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's
again the thankless job.
Yeah.
A side tangent on that is like I've been watching, so right now the Dallas Cowboys documentary.
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't even watch that yet.
And it's funny because again, that it looks like a like, really glamorous job because they're out in the field,
yeah.
but they're talking about their pay, and they make like $15-$20 an hour, like.
Really?
Per game.
Oh my God.
So like
per game?
Yeah. So like for them, it's not for the money either. Oh, like they think of yeah. it as like a privilege. But then obviously they would like, but I was like, that's crazy. I would yeah. never expect it to be that low.
Yeah. Holy.
They were like, it's the equivalent of like a part-time worker. And like wow. some people like they like nurse and mm-hmm. then they do that on the side. I'm like, wow.
I think I saw clips of that where they're yeah. like, that's their day job or like their nurse.
That's crazy.
That's
epitome. Epitome of like glamour.
I know.
Versus like the reality.
That's wild.
Crazy.
Okay. I wanted to get into the why of our hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I feel like because I've seen some people, and I don't judge this at all, or I don't think it's a bad thing. I've seen people take breaks, mm-hmm. gaps. I feel like we both didn't really have the mm-hmm. privilege to be able to do that. We've always yeah. kind of felt like we had to work, and we've always worked hard to kind of get to where we are.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like you've worked so hard? Yeah. What's your why behind your girl bossy?
Oh my gosh. Do we have 2 hours? Because it's such a deep question. I'm looking down like with no clock.
I know.
But I think for me, it's very rooted in the fact, that I have a disability too. I feel like what we talked about, having a disability, I feel like people assume your capabilities mm. and like where your ceiling could be.
Yeah.
And because I grew up like that, like my parents were very tough on me, being mm. like, you need to survive out in the world. Mm. And like that came out in ways that like made me hard to understand. Like mm. it was like I didn't take it well, you mm. know, because you know my parents are first second generation mm. and like they're trying to be loving mm-hmm. but it comes out, you know,
yeah.
in a way mm-hmm. and I think that like was instilled in me at a very young age, like I need to like make it out in the world and survive, like mm-hmm. it's a cutthroat world out there, mm-hmm. and on top of it, like I'm a female
mm-hmm.
and females are just, we, you know, mm-hmm. makes it tough.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of being a female, I have a disability. So it's mm-hmm. like it's a double whammy of like,
you're Korean things. American, you're Asian.
I'm Korean American, you know, marginalized, all the things. It's like I have everything plus some, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with that, it's like, it like pushed me to be like, okay, like I need to prove to my family, but I also need to prove to myself and other people that, you know, I can do this, because a lot of people doubted me, I think. Mm. Like, even my parents are like, oh, like, can you, like, do this mm. or whatever? And, like, even me getting into tech and, like, for example, when I was working at Google, they're like, oh, like, that was their aha mm. moment of, like, oh, wow, like, we can, like, put our worries to rest mm. and, like, trust her. Because, mm. you know, they're worried that, like, when they're gone, mm. like, can she sustain herself?
Yeah.
And I think that was like the turning point for them. Mm. And also because I have an older sibling, and then there's a comparison mm. point of like, she went to Berkeley, I went to UCR. And like, you know, I'm saying like college isn't everything, but like when you're going from high school to college, is what you kind of gauge.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, like she's going to UCR, mm-hmm. but like sister went
at
to
the time UCR was like,
yeah,
poop.
Yeah.
Poop school.
In comparison, like my sister yeah. went to Berkeley, so it's like, oh, like, will she be okay, you know?
Yeah.
And then after I got into things and like was in the tech space for a while, mm-hmm. I think my hustle reason kind of shifted. Mm-hmm. Because I would say in the last couple of years, it's an homage to my parents to pay them back. Mm. Like, I want to be able to afford whatever they need. I want to be able to purchase for them. So it's been that kind of driver. Mm. And because they're retired now. Mm. So like, in any way I can, I just want to repay them, mm-hmm. even in the small amounts that I'm paying them, even though it doesn't equate the same. Mm. So it's kind of that plus one other thing currently, which is, I'm not dating.
Mm.
So like my brain space is like wide open. Mm. So like I feel like if there's any time to hustle, it's right now. Mm. And like if and when I find someone in the future, like I want to dial back.
Mm.
But until then, like I have the freedom too. Mm. So it's like I'm going to go full out, mm. you know. But I think those are the reasons and how they've evolved.
Mm. That's so beautiful. Or
you?
I think just seeing how, yeah, from it went from like proving your parents wrong to now paying homage to them, yeah. and trying to like give back.
That's, yeah,
that's special.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and like I feel like it's never gonna be repaid, which is
yeah,
tough.
Yeah.
Do
you feel like growing up seeing your parents hustle has taught you kind of the value of hard work? Like,
I think growing up seeing like them struggle in the sense of they worked every single day,
mm-hmm.
Monday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, but like there's a lot of things that I miss. Like, mm. I think when I was younger, something that I envied from other friends was they would go on summer trips. Mm. I've never like gone on a summer trip with my family.
Because they were working all the time.
Yeah. And like the trips that we've gone on are only recent. Because like, you know, we have the time now that they're free. Yeah. So I feel like I'm making up for lost time in those aspects. But yeah, it was kind of seeing them struggle with like just having to work every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I don't want to in my future if I can. Like if I can prevent that and like, you know, be more free for my parents or my future family.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a wish list. Yeah.
Wow. I feel like so much of our generation works so hard to break the cycle of our previous generation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to carry.
Yeah. It's hard because times have changed too. So it's just like the level of hustle we have to put in, I feel like, to get what we want is so much harder right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because hello, inflation. Yeah, hello, inflation. Economic times. Like, goodness gracious.
Gosh, the job market these days. Yeah, just a lot
it's
of
rough
factors.
Out there. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
All right, how about you?
Okay, the hustle for me, I don't know. I feel like I think it has a lot to do with like my college years. I feel like I grew up fairly, like we were always a middle class family. And maybe we had some struggle. I think like what, 2008, everybody saw.
Oh, the crash.
Like, yeah. But other than that, like I don't have a lot of memory of like struggling too much as a family until then. And then in college was when I started really seeing the reality of like our family's financial situation. And basically got to the point where, again, it still wasn't terrible, but like middle class is a difficult place to be in, especially when you go to college, because it's like you don't get a lot of loans, but you also can't pay. It really, really sucks. Yeah. But basically in college, my parents basically told me I needed to get a car. And they were like, you're gonna have to work to pay off your car. At the time, I was seeing a lot of people getting cars gifted by their parents.
It's crazy.
A lot of people were, I don't know, you were in this situation where like people were getting like loans, like money back, like refund checks.
Oh yeah.
In college. Yeah. I've never seen a refund check in my life. So a lot of people were operating off of their refund checks in college and just kind of playing with that. That was like their allowance. That's fine. That's great. Whatever. I didn't really get that because of our situation is really weird.
We're like, we're in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle where it was like, I'm not getting a new refund check. I'm barely getting loans. And then we also have to pay out of pocket. It wasn't great. So I had to work in college. My first job was the dining halls.
Yes, guys, she did the dining halls.
I was scrubbing pots and plates back there in the kitchen, wiping tables, making sandwiches.
The ones that you ate in freshman year.
Exactly, yes. They were actually kind of bomb. What was that one sandwich place called again? I don't remember.
I forget too, but it was bomb.
It was good. But yeah, I mean, so that was my first job was like, I think that taught me so much, honestly. Like, literally, it was so humbling to scrub pots and pans. Like, it was disgusting. Sometimes I wanted to throw up because, like, the smell of all the food. I had to scrape off the food off the plates. Like, you know when you eat and then you put your plate on that little rotating thing. Yeah, yeah. I'm the person behind it scraping the food off and putting it in the trash can. And sometimes like the smell of all of that, especially with the ketchup, I was like that was me, dude. Like literally scraping the food off. Oh yeah, that was me. That taught me character. Yeah. If anyone asks, like you have grit, that was my first job. Scrubbing pots
I respect
and pans.
That.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget, you also made laptop cases and pillow pals.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. That's like, sometimes I forget about that because I like block it out of my memory. But yeah, so basically, like, that was my first job in college. I also ended up tutoring a lot. I also worked in retail. That was character building, fashion. I worked at a clothing store for several years. I worked a lot of hours while I was still full-time school. Yeah. I worked like 25, 30 hours a week while being a full-time college student.
Yeah.
So I think that built a lot of character. But I had like little side hustles of like, yeah, I would like, I built laptop sleeves to raise funds for mission trips. that ended up kind of going into like a little passion project thing. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't know this about me, is that I had this little stint of making these pillows that were called
so cute.
Pillow Pals. The real ones know. I even did a, was it GoFundMe or no, it wasn't GoFundMe. No. It was the other thing where like for businesses only, I think. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was like a GoFundMe thing. Mm-hmm. I reached my financial goal. Mm-hmm. I had to make like hella pillows though. Mm-hmm. And I was like traumatized after that. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm done.
Oh, because they gave you a portion or something. Right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But that was my little side, my entrepreneurship like venture.
And it's crazy. I feel like I've seen you in that, and like, now that I've seen you kind of grow into who you are today, mm-hmm. I feel like it just showcases how much you can handle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, married life. Oh, my stomach's rolling.
Mine too.
We're hungry, I guess. Married life and having a kid, like, that's no easy feat. Yeah. And you're kind of like, I guess I prepared you in a sense. But like, yeah, I always saw you working and hustling, like, sewing those things. It takes hours. Mm-hmm. And then you also like completed all your schoolwork.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know essentially where it all comes from, but I think like those years in college were really formative years of like, mm-hmm. yeah, just really like me learning grit, hard work, mm-hmm. perseverance, because I didn't really have a choice. I had to pay for my car. Like, yeah. It was, I think that was the big thing. I think some people worked to have allowance and like, so I could play. But for me, it was like, I had to pay for my car. Mm-hmm. So I think that level of like necessity really mm-hmm. pushed me. Yeah. But I learned so much from that. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a level of bitterness that I had in college, because I was like, everyone gets to play. Everyone's doing this and that. Mm-hmm. And everyone gets allowance. Why am I working? But honestly, like, I'm so grateful for those years. I mm-hmm. think I wouldn't be who I am today without those years. So, yeah.
It's still on. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. Sometimes I almost like freaked out. No, but I think so. Yeah. It, like, built your character.
Yeah.
And we laugh about it now, but I'm sure you felt some type of way.
Yeah, yeah. So, I feel like that's kind of where my hustle comes from, because I feel like even right now, because, like, I'm married, you know, double income household, right now. But, like, I still carry that sense of like independence that I had those years mm-hmm. in college, where I had to on my own mm-hmm. like make a certain amount of money, pay off my car and things like that. And even getting married, like, I struggle with that sometimes, of accepting help. Like, Ben's like, mm-hmm. my money's your money is my mm-hmm. money. But I'm like, yes, but it was like hard for me to like shift my mindset into that. But yeah. That's, I feel like, where my hustle comes from.
And look at you now, pool master.
And I have to say, I'm really proud of the fact that I paid for my master's program with the money that I saved up. So I don't have any debt with my master's program. And I feel like that's a big feat.
That's a big feat.
Yeah. So I was like, my savings might be pretty depleted, but I don't have debt.
That's so great. Money can always be earned.
Exactly. That was my mindset. I was like, I don't want debt. I don't want loans. I don't want interest. Like, if I have to deplete my savings a little bit, that's fine. But I, like, this master's is to help me increase my pay anyway.
It'll
some financial gurus might think that was a bad move. I don't know. I'm proud of
it'll
what
come
I did.
Back to you.
Yeah.
You invested in yourself.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Anyway.
That was a lot.
I know. That was a lot. Man, I guess I kind of want to just like bring it back down to like a little fluffier subject of like, mm-hmm. if you could have any other career, or if you had what was your dream job as a kid? Why did that change? You know?
Yeah. This is a funny one. Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah. I'll go first, because I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I was little, I wanted to be a vet.
Mm, I can see that, because you're the dog. Yeah.
I wanted to be a vet or an actress.
Ooh, the actress one surprises me. But I can see that, because she's big on TikTok these days. So.
I think when I was young, okay, the vet thing is because I loved animals. Yeah. And then I learned that as a vet, you also have to put animals down. Aww. And that was my dream crusher. I was like, I can't do that. So that dream was crushed pretty fast. I wanted to be an actress when I was little. I was always like a little entertainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved making TikToks. People laugh. Yeah. I feel like I still have that aspect to me. It's died down a little
you're goofy,
bit.
Goofy, yeah.
Yeah, but I've always had that level of like, I love entertaining people.
Yeah.
And I think I
let's plug your TikTok page. What's your TikTok page?
I don't want to plug
it. All right. No, if you guys find her, you're lucky.
You know. But yeah, that's, yeah. Mm. And I think I wanted to bring that up because like, the reason why I didn't ever consider it was because there was no representation.
Mm.
I always like, sad that as a young girl that I like had this like, oh, I want to be on Disney Channel. I want to be an actress. But then I also, as a young girl, had the mindset of like, oh, but I'm Asian. Like, I'll never make it, which is really sad, right?
Not now.
We've come
a long way.
But and that's why like representation is so important. That's a whole other topic. But it's just like interesting that that's like my mindset at the time. I literally said, I'm Asian. Like, I don't think I'll ever make it. Mm-hmm. And I need to make more money. Like, yeah.
It's like not stable.
Yeah. But that was my childhood dream.
I mean, if money wasn't a factor, like that's something you could definitely go for.
I know. But like, if I like think about that now, like what would I do now? What's my dream? Like like the idea of being an actor doesn't really like
appeal
to me at this point, but
I mean, you are living it through your TikTok.
I know, that's like really just for fun kind of stuff.
I think I have two. So my original dream was to be a fashion stylist because I love fashion.
I remember you always
but then my mom was like, you know, let's think about something else. But like also I realized carrying the clothes will probably be really heavy and I don't have any strength. But I think I just like the juxtaposition of like putting things together. My sister would always ask for my opinion with clothes. She'd be like, does this look good? And I'd be like, no. And then she would actually like listen to me. But then, you know, I think that dream kind of died with like my parents being like, oh, you know, do something else. After that, actually it looks like I had three. I wanted to be a psychologist.
Oh.
Because I love how the brain works. Mm. And, like, I love how, like, for the same prompt, you might have a different response because of how you grew up.
Right.
And I just like that, like, that it's so different and people are so complex in that way that it really intrigued me. Mm. But then at the time, my parents were very, like, doctor, lawyer, you know, those are the only two options. And so it was, like, find something else. But honestly, if money wasn't a factor, like my actual dream was to be a singer. Like I'm working late, you know, we did that, but so I had this,
I remember talking about how you like wanted to go on a show.
So, oh my gosh, it reminds me of a couple things. So like when I was in middle school, I like confessed to our mutual friend in my townhouse, like, community pool bathroom, being like, hey, I have a secret to share. And this was when, like, American Idol had just come out.
Yeah,
Kelly Clarkson had won.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to go, like, I want to sing. And she was like, oh, like, let me hear something. And it was, like, the bathroom acoustics.
Yeah.
So I was singing, like, a moment like this in the bathroom. And the funny part is we met up because we needed to film an English project together. We had to act out like a poem and we had Edgar Allan Poe. And like we dunked ourselves in our community pool. It was a whole thing. And at the end, like of the night, like she's like, hey, just put your singing at the back of this video that we have to present to the class. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. And so we're like doing multiple takes and then her dad comes, like she's like, I have to go. And I was like, I'm not ready yet though. Like, you know, we're going through multiple takes. And she was like, it's okay, my dad will handle it. And I think her dad like edited the video.
Wait, so you sang it just in front of her dad?
Oh no, no.
Oh, you already sang it.
In the recording. Oh. Yeah. And remind you, this needed to be presented to the class. And you know, our little project, it plays and then it fades to black and then that's where I'm like, hey guys, yeah, so I sing my little song and the room is like
crickets,
yeah, and then you know how it's like those slow claps,
yeah,
I was like one of those. And I think my friend's dad still has the video.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see that when I'm, you know, hopefully married and it's
did that crush your video. Dreams, you feel like?
It did, because after that we had like talent shows during lunch. And I also did that one time.
You sang?
Yeah. But then the thing was, and this was like a different time.
Yeah.
But the thing was, like, you had to sign up for this. And, you know, there's like finals happening at the same time. Like, everyone, you know, you balance that. But the person who went before me, she was like really good.
Oh.
Like that was like her passion. Like, she made YouTube videos, like really good. Right. Yeah. And like, I had my parents help like getting me ready. I had a dress. Like, my mom helped me with my makeup. And like the next time it's like my turn, right? And I go up to this stage, and this is outside in our like communal like space where like seniors would sit in a certain like tree section, like juniors, whatever. And I forget what song I sang, but like I forgot the lyrics in the middle or something like that. And I'm like, and then I just like leave. And then everyone else, like,
you blinked out and then you just left.
I literally blinked out and I left. And the people who performed after me were like really good. And so I think those multiple moments like crushed. But oh my gosh, I'm gonna out myself right now. But okay. I think I still believed in it, because in college there was an audition for an acapella group.
Yes, I remember that.
And I like confessed to Lois, like, hey, I was like, hey, like, I really want to apply. And I think this was like during the era of like Pitch Perfect or something.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'll go with you. Like, we had to like go down this like incline.
I went
like,
with you?
Yes. Like, our dorm was like on an incline, so we had to like go down, and she had to walk with me because it was in a specific section of like the campus. And I remember my song was Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. And my friend had to wait outside while I was auditioning.
Me?
And, yeah. And mind you, this is a cappella. So I go in there and they're like, they play like on the piano. They're like, okay, sing this note.
Oh,
sing. And I'm like, no. And they're like, okay. And they're like, okay, let's hear your song. And I sing, you know, the first bits of Isn't She Lovely? And they're like, awesome. And then only 5 minutes had passed, okay? And they're like, okay, thank you so much, you know? And I walk out and Lois goes, you're done already? And I was like, oh, yeah. And we did the walk of shame back up, because I knew at that point, it was just not it, because 5 minutes, come on.
I
really wanted to be like, you know, the Pitch Perfect, like, you know, in harmony. I still like to sing, but like, you know, maybe if I train myself, you know, taking some voice lessons, it can be what it needs to be. Yeah. But yeah, so I tried that multiple times. It was for funsies, but you know.
I'm dead. That's hilarious.
But yeah, they were like competing, like how Pitch Perfect, they had those elite competitions. Like, this group, I think, was like trying to compete like in those things. But yeah, those are my three dreams, or multiple dreams.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so sorry you went through that. Also, in hindsight, that's.
No, it's hilarious.
I know. That's hilarious. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's
good times.
Good times. Good times. I laugh at it now, but it was so traumatizing back then.
I know.
And literally froze at those moments. So.
Wow. I mean, that's a guts.
Yeah.
Can I see you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, for my embarrassment, but also joy.
That was your guts world tour.
It was my guts for world tour. And I think Olivia was probably like 10.
Yeah, she was like 8 years old at the time.
She was just like starting off, okay?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like,
well, how about you, in the sense of not like a vet, but like any, like,
oh, like if I could be anything kind of thing. I don't know. I feel like it's weird, because like when I feel like I wish I had a funnier answer, but when I think of like, if I had all the money in the world, if I had all the, like, money wasn't a problem, whatever, it would go back to still what I do, but just creating a system, which I feel like is near impossible, but creating like a school or a system or something in place where just like all the barriers that I face are peeled back and like creating something better than what exists now.
Like an onion.
Yeah. That's my not funny answer.
That's good. That means like you're doing what you really need to do or want to do.
Yeah. That's kind of what I wish to do and wish to see is just like the perfect picture perfect world for special education, for inclusion, for disabilities and all of that. So,
and we can go into like, you know, that like sped POV versus someone who has disability, which I'm excited for in a future episode. Yeah. But I'm glad.
Yeah.
You're in the right space.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
cheers to that.
Cheers to failed dreams.
Hustles and fair dreams.
And
failed dreams, not
failed dreams.
Failed dreams.
And successful
futures.
Future careers. Clink. Clink, clink. We'll talk more about our jobs and how that plays out and things like that. But that's it.
That's all, folks.
That's for what today. It is for now. All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hopefully you guys didn't hear our gurgling of our stomachs.
All right. Bye.
Bye.